We have the opening sound of Sue's spoon. It's the wake-up call for Sue. 1 Thessalonians. In answer to Mr. Bojo's question, perplexed. It says perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed is aporio. It means to be without resources, to be at a loss with oneself. And then despair is exaporio, which means utterly. So, 1 Corinthians 4:8. That's not true. 2 Corinthians 4. Starting again, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed there means we are without, we can't take care of it ourselves. But we're not in despair, we are not utterly in that position because Christ is in us. Oh, sure. Yeah, whatever they are. Let's look at one place, we'll talk about that. Let's go to 1 Peter, I think. Yeah. How do I do that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word heaviness means it means any kind of mental weight, sad, depressed, whatever. But it says the way that it says for that point you need to be there. That's what that means.
Chapter 1.
Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, abundant testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or revelation of Jesus Christ. So herein it says you need to be sad or upset or depressed. As long as you don't stay there. Yeah. It's not only okay, it's needed. To cause you to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Until you see. All right, well, we're talking about the tempter. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. You want a Bible? She knows it. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Starting in verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, as we told you before, that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now, let's look at, we're going to look at a bunch of these. Let's go to Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of or by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the Holy Spirit led him in his, just got, he was just baptized, all the glory, da-di-da-di-da. And then the next thing that happens, the dove had just descended. Well, let's look at it. And straight in verse 16 above it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So all that majesty of that moment, the incredible, we can't even conceive of what that could have been like to Paul, and I mean to Jesus and to John. The very next thing that happened is the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the tempter. Okay, so then again, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, it's hard for us to believe that affliction can happen to you that is serious. You hate it. It may even be life-threatening. But it's the Holy Spirit that led you into that. You believe that? Everybody believe it? Ronnie? It's as big as they get. I'm just saying that's what this says. Let me talk about something. Let's go to Big John, chapter 1. Big John. Chapter 1. Now there are innumerable things. There are legions, things that could happen that nobody likes. right?
Yeah.
Especially Ronnie.
Gary, really.
Huh?
Gary, really.
You're in the seat of the scorner. All right. Okay, listen carefully. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The beginning was the Word. All things were made by Him and for Him. Let's look at another one real quick. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, that doesn't leave anything out. There cannot be an act or a thing that transpires in His creation that isn't of Him, by Him, and for Him. It doesn't say it's in Him, by Him, and for man. Remember, everything about our walk with God has to do with something that changes our point of view from what of to be something other than of God. We change our point of view to be of man. The minute that happens, then everything goes into miasma, confusion. But listen, it's a hard concept to explain, but there can't be anything in time and space that isn't for His purpose. There's a word called tautological. It means that the argument is not possible to be withstood. Does anybody want to withstand? If that's true, that He created all things were by Him and for Him, and by Him all things exist, all things consist, then we have to see that. We have to see that even down to the smallest molecule, the smallest thought, the smallest everything, that all things consist of and by and for His purpose. To me, you can best see this in how, if you look like go out in the desert. You go out in the desert, and it's just, if you look at it from the standpoint of just concentrating on one thing or another, then you do what Harry said. Screaming out to God, everything in this desert is trying to hurt me. But when you look at it and see with open eyes, then you see the incredible beauty in the desert. It's beyond, and it's true wherever you look, in the forest, in the desert, on the ocean, in the sea. It's everything. Now, what happens when man does something? Look around in here. If you look at nature, there's almost no straight lines. Right? Well, look at what man does. Everything has to be straight. Everything, there's lines, there's right angles. Everything has to be this man's conception of order. It has to, right? Huh? Yeah. Now why? Because we, our minds, can't see everything as beauty in itself. We want to make it straight. We want to make it comprehensible. We want to be able to see it with human eyes and think that there's some purpose or beauty in it. Now let's, in Colossians, just hold that thought. Let's go on down. It says, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. That's the whole human race. The human race became an enemy of God, and an enemy of what God's nature and plan is by the fall. Right? I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? So the only place that you and I and everybody else is, the only enemy of God on the face of the earth, is our mind. Now why? Because God created us to be a vessel for Him. But in order to be a vessel for Him, in order that fellowship would be possible with Him, we had to go through the whole nine yards to find out what it isn't before we can know what it is. Every thought that your mind can have, every plan that your mind can conceive of, every ambition, not just you, but the smartest, the dumbest, I don't care, men in the world, they have to go through this process. You have to see that your thoughts, your mind, your devices, your ambitions, your goals have nothing to do with the mystery of God, except for you to push them all out there until you find what they're, until you know Ecclesiastes. All things. And what God could have created us, boom. And that instant, we would have, we could have been perfect health, we could have been everything exactly, your highest dreams it could have been. Why did He? But he had to give us the capacity to test everything to see what it isn't before we can have true fellowship with Him. Is that communicating at all? The only way I could become a believer, and with me, He used boredom. I had to go push everything that my mind could conceive of in order that I could see that my mind could be transformed, transfigured, so that I would have the capacity to have fellowship with Him. And it all has to do with this word obedience. The stupid thing that I say, that I can't think of a better one to do it. If God came down and told Ronnie to go smack Jeff right in the face, and you were convinced it was God, you'd go do it. Right? But forgive the thing here, but God wants you to smack Him in the face without Him telling you to. Again, the thing I use. What?
But in a little bit. Anyway.
Yeah, let's go back to the other one. Forget that one. If God came down and told Jeff to kick the wall, no, you wouldn't. If you knew it was God, you would kick the wall. Right? But God wants you to kick the wall without him telling you. So whatever it is, that's what obedience is. Obedience is finding out what it isn't so you can know what it is. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
What? That's the plan of God. What? It's ridiculous. But it's the plan of God. You know, that's why I say, if you got things to do, if your mind has things to do, whether you stay or whether you go, either way, he will transform it. But the quicker way is to go do the thing that you think you want to do, and you find out that there's no life there. There's no there. So you can have your theology from all these songs: climb every mountain, cross every stream. What? Yes. Well, you know what I'm talking about. But God wants us, the thing that the universe was created for was fellowship. Based on love. And that's the only answer that's going on. But in order to be there, it caused his son had to die. The seed of that mystery of God had to be put in every man in the Feast of Pentecost. So everyone now has that divine impulse within them. But all you do is you resist. Everybody resists until you get tired of resisting. We can see, just think, if the light, the spectrum of light is huge. It's, you know, the amount of, you understand what a spectrum is? It's the wavelength that defines what something is. So if we can see light and dark, and we have a very limited spectrum of what we can see. But if we could see everything in that light spectrum, it would dazzle us to we couldn't even speak. If you could hear, you know, the sound spectrum is what we can hear is a very small amount of the vibrations that are going on in the earth. If we could expand that to all the vibrations, well, it would probably be a symphony like nothing we've ever heard. But it would put everybody in this state of massive awe, and you'd just be like falling down, and you'd be like one of the beasts in the Book of Revelation. You would be there, and you would be for a time purpose of God, but you would never end up with fellowship. And he wants to, somebody once said, God wants pals. Somebody he can talk to. And it's how do you get in all this? In order for that to happen, you have to be tempted in everything else. He is talking to you constantly.
Think of the phrase, "Go in the heart of God."
Yes. He's talking to us. We don't hear. So the whole mystery of God is to find out what He is and where He isn't in terms of your understanding. Because you believe, because of the fall, that your happiness, your purpose in life has to conform to what you want to do, where you want to be. What? Right. You don't hear them because your ears are not circumcised. You always get seduced by something else. And look at Christ. He was seduced in a split second. If he would have given breath to his, as Son of Man, his hearing, there would have been, in an instant, sickness would have been over forever. Pain would have been over forever. It would never again have been in lack. Let's go back there. Go back to Matthew. Go back to Luke 4. What? Would you talk up so the people else can hear you? Something mumbly? Oh, I hope so.
Sorry, I like to shout.
I know you like smooth words and nice sayings and fuzzy little feelings.
Oh,
here we go. Alright. Alright. You set it up. You just went right there and set it up. Well, we're going to have to look at all of these temptations of Christ and compare them to the temptations in the wilderness, in the Garden of Eden. But right now, we're going to go to verse 5, chapter 4. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That means that every, this moment of time in the Greek, it means in a split second, he saw all of time. He saw everything from creation to the end. All of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the every movie, every invention, anything that you can conceive of. And again, unless if you believe in comic book theology, this was a little horned beast with horns that was walking around with him. But it wasn't. It was his mind, the Son of Man. And he was tempted to just take that. He was tempted to be what every religion in the world wanted him to be. The God of this world. And the way that you worship the God of this world is by giving breath to self. By giving importance to what you feel, what you want, or what you think. And Jesus dismissed it. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, Satan tempted him to get his point of view away from what God's intent is and toward what man wants. And if you listen to the sermons, that's why I hate how-to so much. Because it's all, they've shifted the point of view from God's purpose to what will benefit man. And Jesus was tempted along those lines, just as you are every day. But he resisted that temptation because he saw that he must fulfill his Father's purpose, not his purpose as Son of Man. A little bit. Just see how easily it happens in you, how quickly your mind will shift from the point of view of from God to the point of view of man, from the point of view of man, including you. You see the difference? Every religion, every philosophy, every form of economic thought, every political system, they all have as their point of view to improve or benefit or control man. That's not what God's about. Until that penetrates you, you will walk in deception. Because you always give breath to what your mind says, or what a human need appears to be, without seeing through it to see his purpose. Let's study this. This is kind of important. Paul in Thessalonians, he was so concerned with that new group, his new church in Thessalonians, that he wanted to go back and see if they had been drawn away by the tempter from the mystery of God. That's my only concern, is that you not be drawn away from the mystery of God by putting your mind and your actions on what on man. And that's a biggie. Amen? You see that a little bit, Ronnie? Amen? Alrighty. We'll spend a few days, I think, on this tempter.
Whoever bring out what protects first.
Yeah. If you'd have been here, you'd have known. If you wouldn't have left your lights on all night again and the television blaring, perplexed is, it's the scripture says perplexed but not in despair. Perplexed is aporio, which means to be without resources. That's you. But not in despair means to be utterly out without, because you always have God. Amen. Take a big breath.
Did you film this, Joyce? Yeah. We need to talk about it. Privately. Yeah, you're going to the privy. Oh, man, I'm tired. Now I just turn off the thingy time, so I wouldn't have all this stuff on it.